This
Okay,
guy.
let me just. This is a meeting we're already in at 10:36 on August 14, 2014, and we're going to open the rest of the conversation to talk about legalities or questions concerning what we've done tonight. We just finished up with some agreements on presentments and informations. So we have an hour and a half. This program is going to continue, and it's open for discussion. And we're going to kind of leave it open without going into Q&A. Everybody keep themselves muted if you're not talking. If you're listening, even if you're in the conversation, maybe you can mute in between your conversations so we don't hear any background noise. Every once in a while when I get a little bit of a noise, I'll just hit that mute button so it'll mute everybody. But you'll be able to unmute yourself with star six. So anyway, with that, where we at? Who's talking?
Did this guy tape the conversation with the FBI, or he just reiterated what happened?
Oh, no, he told the story of what happened. I sent you a copy of that. Didn't you get it?
Well,
on
I didn't.
Your Skype.
Yeah, I didn't. I guess I didn't open it. I didn't have a chance today, but I'll listen to that.
Yeah, matter of fact, it's sitting there. You didn't download it yet. Go click them. They're waiting for you. So.
Thank you.
All right. Anyway, who wants to speak now? Did I answer? Well, I think I did answer the question, the last question, but about the media.
John?
Yes.
This is Sarah down in Florida. And
how are you doing, Sarah?
Just wanted to add in regarding, you know, the bar. I think that whole thing, once they start seeing that these indictments turn into charges and it starts going through, you know, even the first 10, they're all going to start panicking and abandoning ship because they will realize it's just a matter of time to catch up to all the others. And, you know, they've already been complicit, including in criminal activity. All these things are going to come up. So it's not even, we don't really have to worry about them. It's just start going through the cases that we do have and a few more that will be vital in priority, and the rest will just fall into place because they already see the writing on the wall.
Won't it be sweet?
Well, yeah, I agree with you. The pressure is mounting, and what we're doing now, the turn that we've taken here in NLA for the sole purposes of the people in their own states to start doing something and to work with us in New York with what we're doing and to become connected with that and building that the case that there is a serious conspiracy across the nation, and we're going to expose it. We're going to expose it from the jurist point on and upward. And by the way, let me just make a note. You know, we do have enough money collected at this point to at least start the process of going forward with the paperwork for our plan to all judges. So tomorrow I'm going to go back and work on that paper that we have written up for that purpose, and I'm going to add to it because I came up with some other things as we've been going through this stuff, and so I'm going to, you know, add to it. I also had someone send me some information on some cleanup that has to be done. And so we'll clean it up and then I'll send it out to someone else for another cleaning, make sure we get our punctuation and spelling as best as possible. And then we're going to start filing it. So I know we can go forward. I can clean that up and I can start getting this printed off over the weekend, maybe, as long as I can get make sure we get everything cleaned up. But we can start getting that together. We can start getting envelopes, and we could probably start stuffing. Maybe Monday we can meet together. We'll get a group here in New York, and we'll get together someplace in the back room of Denny's or something, and we'll start stuffing envelopes and getting it ready. Maybe by then we'll have enough to buy the stamps, and then we'll do that, and we'll have them stamped and ready to go. And then at that point they'll go out. So I think we'll be able to get these letters out now, maybe by Tuesday or so. We definitely should have enough money now to get the printing done and pick up the envelopes, get everything, you know, put together. And at worst case, we'll be waiting for enough money to do the stamps. But I think we'll be okay.
Hey, John.
So people who are giving, we thank you. And, you know, those who haven't given yet, please keep giving. $5 a month is the ideal thing. If you want to give more, hey, God bless you. Go ahead, Hagen.
Yeah, while Sarah's on there, I need to get her phone number. I couldn't even call her to tell her about this event today, but I need her phone number. I lost it.
Yeah.
Sarah, do you want to give the phone number over the air?
Yeah, 718-808-5661.
Yeah, I mean, any time like this, if I need a number, if you want to text it to me or something, you can do that. I think you probably have my number.
Yes, and I did speak with John. He's the one that called me about the action, so I went ahead and blasted the press release all over social media. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there thinking right now.
Yeah, now, we're going to move forward with some stuff. I'll tell you that real quickly here. We're going to move forward with some stuff tomorrow and Monday.
Yep. Yeah, if you don't mind, can you and I call each other after this call? Because I think...
I've got one other call, and I've got probably 50 calls backed up. I took a nap and because I was so wore out. But everybody was calling while they're sleeping.
Okay.
Let me just make a quick note about phone numbers. I hear a lot of noise in the... let me just say something about phone numbers here. I've had my phone number out in the internet for years. Through this whole time period here, going through what we're doing here with National Liberty Alliance, my number's been out there. And I got to tell you, you know, I do get a lot of calls, but, you know, people will call and find out all kinds of things about websites, what's going on, questions and stuff. Listen, whoever's unmuted... talk, okay, because it's feeding back, it's putting the feedback here. But anyway, my point is this. Out of all the time, and for years I've had my number out there, I've only had one call that was really obnoxious, and they called me to be obnoxious. And you know what I did? I just listened. Then they finally gave up and hung up, and they never called back again. So just listen. Just say, uh-huh. But I haven't had any problems at all. Never had any problems. So with that, I just wanted to make that note. Okay, where are we going to go now? Any other questions here or comments or where are we going to go?
I got one quick comment. It's on the subject of attorneys again. And I do believe you were there for this instance. It was in the town court here, and there was a kid there with a child, and the judge was going to put him away for a year because he didn't meet up with, he didn't go to some meetings and pay some fines. And his attorney was present in the court, and the attorney started testifying against his client. He started saying, he's lying, Judge. He didn't go to that meeting. Now, for an attorney to testify against his client, that's an immediate breach of everything that they're supposed to stand for, I believe. Now, when we start getting our presentments and indictments through, and people start realizing that they can actually do something to these attorneys that wrong them. Remember the kid, he said, I don't need you, shut up, you're fired here in the court, you know? And he really didn't know what he was doing, this kid, but he knew that it wasn't right. I believe you're right. I think these attorneys are going to be running, and I think they've been prophesied in Revelations. I think the attorneys and the judges are going to be the ones that are running away, and they won't even know what they're running from. They're just going to be scared of every shadow in every corner because they're so evil, and they won't know where it's what corner it's going to come out of next. And I really believe that because they've been that bad, and I think justice demands that they see the crumbling of this system in their own time that they set up. They watch it crumble, you know, before it's all over, you know. Anyway, I just wanted to state that. That was a real eye-opener for me, hearing an attorney testify against his client in court. He's there representing him. Anyway, I yield.
John, my name is Paul Kamara, calling from Hawaii.
How
and,
you doing, Paul?
Just fine. Last night and today I had to deal with Facebook in them stopping me from posting our web site. They told
really?
Me that, yes. So I just wanted to put other people on record that they
which
do
website?
This.
Which what website?
Times.
What website were they blocking you, trying to block you from?
Well, I'm posting www.nationallibertyalliance.org and encouraging people to go there to that site.
Can you get me information on this? Because I think we need to sue them.
Yes, I can.
All right. What's your time right now? I know you're on a crazy time zone compared to us. What's your time zone?
We're 6 hours different. We're at about 4:45 here.
Okay, so why don't you see if you can't get this information, email it to me, and if you want to call me tomorrow sometime, you know, your early afternoon or late morning, then we can chat a little more.
Okay, they won't allow me to copy any of their information off of the site. In other words, when they tell me, sorry, you can't do this, then I want to copy it. They won't allow me to copy it.
You need to do a screenshot or a cell phone picture. This is Sarah.
Right.
Yeah, screenshot.
Yeah, take screenshots of different things, and if they send you any email or communicate in any way, make sure you keep the recording. But, yeah, screenshot everything and gather up whatever evidence you can concerning this, and we're going to look into it.
Well, they're compartmentalized because they're not stopping other people over here on the mainland from doing it. So obviously they have different divisions, and the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing because they haven't stopped National Liberty Alliance. I mean, look, we got a lot of Facebook following here on the states, and they haven't stopped it as far as I know. So in other words, you in Hawaii, you must be on some other division of their administration, and they feel comfortable doing that in Hawaii, or they don't even know. Maybe it's just a local administration, but that lets us know that they're kind of compartmentalized. You know what I mean? They won't let you do it in Hawaii.
What's the name of the website? Does anybody know?
Well, it's our website. They won't let them post National Liberty Alliance. And I know
his ISP is not letting him post to our website.
No. Facebook will not let him put in, go to National Liberty Alliance. They will not let him post our URL on it to show people.
I've been posting that for weeks and they haven't stopped me.
But you're not in Hawaii.
No, I'm posting through Twitter and Facebook and everything else.
Yeah, well, that's my point. My point is they haven't done it here on the mainland, and obviously either the right hand doesn't know what the left's doing, or that, you know, they're compartmentalized. That's a different administration over there or whatever, or they think because he's in Hawaii they can get away with it. You see, Facebook
this
is a big corporation.
I had a friend of mine get blocked from posting things on Facebook that I would post the same, but someone complained about it. So I think they go off of what your friends or the people you post to, if it's wanted or unwanted.
Oh, I see. So in other words, somebody in Hawaii could have complained, and that's why they're not letting you do it.
Yeah, you can't even, if you friend request people or you post things and someone complains, I had my paternity case got involved with that because they said I did child pornography with my daughter taking a little sink bath when she was one. You know, so they can complain, and then they investigate it and send you info, and I took screenshots of all of it and everything like that, but it's like a user-based complaint deal as far as I understand.
Makes more sense.
Not always. I know for a different site, www.i-uv.com, which was originally from the OPPT People's Trust, you'd start typing it in, and it would turn into a different link. So someone somewhere had scrambled the link, so you literally had to retype it 10 times in order to even post it. And a lot of times the link was broken. A lot of times you'd have to type in a CAPTCHA code, because they would keep track of how many people were passing it forward. And what we found is if you just type in a status update, oh, Facebook, you're Facebooked. You're doing CAPTCHA codes on this site and try to put the link, even if it's without the .com or .org or whatever, but so that people know what it is, they usually, within a day or two, check out what's going on and make sure that the link is able to post. So whether it's hacker, whether it's NSA interference, or whatever it is, they usually correct it within 2 to 3 days after you complain on a status update, just so you know. But it does happen, especially in regards to photographs of some kind of crime or some kind of war picture, something like that that's going down in real time, they'll put CAPTCHA codes. And so activists have been calling out on the CAPTCHA codes. And so they start taking it down because they know we're watching what they're watching. So it's important to call them out on it.
Yeah, that's obviously NSA or Homeland Security doing stuff like that.
Yep. And it's illegal. Unlawful and illegal.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else have anything? Do we want to go any questions? I'd like to bring up one thing because it comes up often and it's come up recently, and that is the idea of standing. And we've had some people get really, really upset with us because they think we're not holding our standing well enough. And, you know, what we're trying to do is good, but, you know, you're blowing it because you're not doing your standing right. And I'm trying to make the point to people. They have to get beyond this thing. I mean, we do look at trying to keep ourselves in a standing per se, you know, in the sense that we're in the common law court. But if you have to debate and argue your standing, you're in the wrong court and you're making the wrong argument. You just shouldn't argue standing. You should be arguing that jurisdiction. So that's the point that we make. We'll argue jurisdiction. We're not going to argue standing because once we're in our court, as long as you have blood going through your veins, pumping through your heart, you have standing. You know, a corporation does not have standing in a common law court, but people do. It's automatic, just the fact that you're alive. Now, in an equity court, not particularly an equity court per se, a legal one, or a lawful one, shall I say, but in a chancery court, you know, because they've hijacked that, you're not going to have standing. And if you're arguing standing, you're giving them, by arguing standing, you're giving them jurisdiction. So don't argue standing, argue jurisdiction. You're in the, as soon as they bring you into court, you're going to object because you know there are no, all of these meetings in court, the conferences and stuff, that we don't do that in common law. That's not part of common law. So that automatically tells you you're in the wrong court. And you have to object to the process, the procedure, and say, Judge, hey, look, you know, what court do you think we're in? Because I opened up a court of record. That's what we're in. We're in a court of record. And right now you're talking statutes. They start talking statutes. You object because that's not the jurisdiction that we're in. So this is the important point. People need to understand this because a lot of people make a lot of, you know, they get very upset with this. But you have to understand what our position is. You know, again, it's all about jurisdiction, and we give no credit also to fiction. Fiction is not reality, therefore we're not going to treat it as such. We're not going to argue in their courts because they're fiction. They have no reality to us. We're going to argue the fact that we're being hijacked into a foreign court, and we're going to go back to our court. That's the argument, and that's the fight.
Hey,
anyway,
John,
go ahead.
John,
yes.
Before you go, I don't know if you know it or not, but William Taylor Ryle is monitoring your calls. And he's reporting to somebody in alphabet agencies.
Okay.
I'm receiving information, and I know that he's doing it, and I want to make sure that you know it.
Is he signed in onto our site?
He's coming in under some kind of an alias.
So
and I know
is,
he's listening, so I'm letting you know he's doing it.
So he's a spy?
He is.
Okay, and that's a crime. And if we catch him on that crime, to spy on the people, especially in the case of us being as grand jurists and coming together to discuss a case. If he's been in that room and we find out, we're going to prosecute him to the fullest extent of the law. We're gonna put as much jail pot time on him as we can possibly get. We're gonna ask the jury for that.
I'm gonna try and find you some factual proof that he's doing it, and
we'll indict him.
Yeah, it sounded like somebody hung up. It's probably him.
Good. Well, we'll indict him.
Good.
Does anybody happen to know the name of that website that the lawyers use? It's some kind of blog or forum that seems like every time after we have a phone call meeting, somebody is up there posting all the stuff that the meeting was about. Anybody know what the name of that website is?
Yeah, I'm.
I can't hear you. There's so
much. I didn't understand you. You come in broken up. What are you coming in? Are you coming in off of a microphone or a telephone?
I'm coming in off the website call-in thingy.
Okay, you probably have a
problem. I don't like using that because that costs you money. But can you hear me? You can't hear me?
We can hear you, but it you're coming in broken up. I think you have a bad microphone.
Yeah, it's
so
like way over.
When you get a chance, try lowering the volume on it. Maybe you'll come in clearer. But if that doesn't work, you'll need to get yourself another microphone.
How about that? Is that better?
Yeah, hell of a lot better. Yeah,
go right ahead.
Okay. My question was: does anybody know the name of the website or the forum or whatever it's called that lawyers go to? They frequent, and they all go in there as an alias name anyway. But it seems like several people have said this, that every time we have a call and have a meeting, immediately afterwards, that forum, that one specific website, has been updated with all the information from our call.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if anybody knew the name of that website or forum.
If anybody knows anything, we'd love to know that. We'd like to go to their meeting.
Vipers are us. Vipers are us.
But we'll identify ourselves, you know? I'll go on there and identify myself as John Duresh with NLA.
They want to learn too, you know. Lawyers want to get smart too, you know.
Well, look, the only people we banned from our site, I went up and changed the information when you come and join in, and we welcome people who are elected officials now. We should have done that. We did it wrong in the beginning, I think. But we welcome them. Look, if they're an elected individual, if they're working for the government, if they're an FBI agent, if they're an appointed individual, they're welcome to come in. The only thing we ask is that in their profile, they say, they identify the fact that they are, you know, I work with the FBI and I'm interested. Whatever you want to say, you know, just say it. Just reveal who you are. And, of course, those people that work for the government cannot come to our grand jury meeting because they can't participate in that. And when they retire or they leave or they quit, then they can participate. But until then, they can't as a grand jurist or a trial jurist. And that's just obvious because it's a conflict of interest. But at this point, we do have no lawyers, but maybe we should remove that. Maybe we'll throw that out for conversation. What do people think? Should we allow lawyers to come in here?
John, this is Tanner from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I've met some good lawyers and guys that are close to retiring and things like that that I've talked to about what we're doing, and they're interested. And I had to tell them that they'd have to resign their bar to be part of, you know, some of the things that would come up. But, you know, I think it would be a good idea. I mean, not everyone is, you know, we can't generalize everyone as the same, you know, in my opinion.
I think this, can you hear me?
Yeah, go right ahead.
This is Shannon from Arkansas. I'm kind of new. I think once we file the resentments that are coming up, I don't really think it matters after that because they're already going to know where we're standing from, and far be it from us from letting them educate themselves too.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
It's Fogbo. That site you're looking for is Fogbo.
That's right, the Fogbo. This is Mark in Orlando, the Fogbo.org. That's it. And they have minute
that?
By minute. F-O-G-B-O-W.
Yeah, can you spell it?
F-O-G-B-O-W.
It's the Fogbo. T-H-E, it's W-W-O-E dot T-H-E Fogbo.com.
Hey, John, can you unmute Roger, please?
Well, he's unmuted. Hit star 6. Everybody can unmute themselves or mute themselves. Just hit star 6, Roger.
Look, they got
John.
Here that you got testy because anyone listening in on his call who's a member of the media, court personnel, et cetera, snooping on the NLA is a felony, and John Durash will see to it that the snooper is indicted, exclamation, exclamation point. So it's
is
up
that
there.
What they're saying over there?
Yeah, yeah. And what he doesn't understand is that when we're in session, when we're in session, that's true. You know? So you're famous over here with the lawyers. They got it just as soon as it comes out of your mouth. They're typing it right on there.
Hey John, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hi, this is Roger. I just wanted to know. I got on late, but I heard some discussion about the FBI, and if possible, we'd really appreciate it if you and Gerard could forward us any information, just so that we could be prepared in case anything comes up.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, the individual. I don't want to mention the state or his name. That spoke, and I'm sure he's going to give us permission to post it. But I recorded, you know, whenever anybody calls me, all my phone calls are recorded. It's just an automatic thing with me. And at the end of the day or after the phone call, I usually delete them. I mean, I have no need to keep a zillion phone calls. But sometimes there's a real good conversation. When I speak to someone that has knowledge in a certain area, especially, whatever, and you get a good conversation. I like to save the conversation and maybe even cut that piece out and throw it into a file so I can get back to it. When I get, sometimes I talk to people who counsel me in law and different things, and I just can't keep up with them because they're so, knowledgeable in their specialties. And by recording them, I can go back and, rewind and play and go forward and so on and so forth, and I can get all this information and make my notes and so on. But anyway, it's just advantageous for educational purposes. So when I was in this meeting, I did record the meeting, and I let them know that I recorded it towards the... Well, I just listened in this meeting, so when I started talking, I let them know I was recording, and I'd share them a copy, and I wouldn't share it with anyone else, with the exception of, I share things with Gerard. We go through things if it's important. But I did want to cut this piece out that I know this guy won't have a problem with, and post it up on the site because it's so powerful the way he dealt with the FBI and the way things went. This is exactly how everybody's got to deal with the FBI.
Hey, didn't you have a recording up there from somebody down in Nassau that was very good, that dealt with the FBI? You had it up on the site for a while, remember? It was a woman. And you said, this is the way you should deal with the FBI.
I don't remember.
And she had it recorded. You had it up on the site. Wasn't that
out in Orange County?
Yeah, it was. And you put it up. You said, look, the way she handled this is perfect. I don't know where it is. We have to find it. So there is one somewhere on the site. And what we got to do is, We gotta make an FBI page now.
Well, the FBI is really easy to deal with because I tell you what, our experience with the FBI and the experiences of other people in New York with the FBI has been quite pleasant, to be honest with you. And really just be straightforward with them. And you know what? Now that the jurist books are out, make sure you give them a jurist book. And, turn them. And... what you do also is you can take a snapshot of the front page and you can share that with them. You can share, of course, the jurist book and just tell them, go out to the front page and read the front page. It's all about founding fathers, and that's what we're about. We're about our founding fathers, trying to learn from them. You know, they can't get anything bad on us because we're standing for justice and righteousness. You know, we're doing things lawfully and going through the courts. I mean, what are they going to get on us? They have nothing. And then they'll discover that they're being used, you know.
John?
Yes.
Is there any way you could expedite Iowa? We've got a situation here where we got the grand jury names and the foreman, and tomorrow a letter will be going out to him demanding a grand jury investigation and instructing the foreman to go to the FBI because the sheriff is violating the law. The county attorney has already suppressed the grand jury, and so that's the only place that we have to turn them to so they can get the help and get the subpoena power that they need.
Well, you know what? Try to get a hold of me, you know, tomorrow evening. Try to get a hold of me. Give me a call. What state are you in again? Iowa?
Yes.
Okay.
I talked to you a couple of days ago.
Yeah. Okay. So you're in Central. Get to me and let's talk some more on the case before, you know, again, you know, only if it's about the grand jury or the trial jury and it's about the fact, the fraud that they've created with this, we definitely want to go forward with it and we'll work with Iowa to do these things, of course, because it's time to get active and learning and stuff, and this is the way we'll learn. You know, everybody should be reading these papers. You know, if you want to learn how to do what we're doing, and get ready to do it, you know, and again, we're going to work with you on it. Go up and read all of our pages and on the news, all of the papers we filed, and you'll see how we're doing it, where our focus is. But bear in mind, we've grown, and we didn't plan the path we actually took because we didn't know how that was going to happen. It kind of comes up, and then you got to figure it out as you're going. And so we've grown from when we first started to now. I mean, our papers are far more better than they ever were as you look back. You know, they keep getting better and better, and we've become more and more focused. And every day, every new day, we learn something new. And we say, whoa, I didn't know that before. You know, just yesterday, we found a very important strategic ploy that they use, okay, with this... what is it called? The United States District Attorney, for the district. That's a very important ploy that they use, and they try to make themselves so that they're not liable. They pass the buck back and forth, and then they use a bogus court case on it, and it's pretty slick to what they've done.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
This is Dominic. Can we give a little more consideration to the fact that, you know, I was trying to figure out how to unmute my phone. Can we give a little more consideration, perhaps, about letting attorneys in? I mean, this thing is in its infancy stages. I'm thoroughly opposed to that, man, because, you know, initially we had thought that basically the people don't need attorneys. You know,
right?
Why would we let these people in there? I mean, look at what they've done to the country.
Well, I do agree.
Attorneys
with that
are the only ones that we've barred, Dominic. All we did was let elected officials in. Attorneys are not allowed in.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, I was just.
But we are discussing it. We're considering it.
Yeah, I was just voicing my opinion. I'm sorry to. Sorry to come in on that, man. So,
No, that's good.
John, this is Jay. That's my fear, too, was somebody with more knowledge than us was going to figure out what we're doing and how right it is and take control and catapult ahead of us. That was my fear.
My fear, I don't have any fear of attorneys anymore, but I'll tell you what. My experience has been with 27 of them, and all of them in underhanded crooks. And I'm sorry, man. That's the way I feel. It is so nice to be in an organization that is so clean and pure, and to let that filth in there. I'm sorry. That's the way I feel.
Hey, this is Left in North Carolina. I would say that they'll shake your right hand with their right hand and stab you in the back with their left.
That's what they do, man.
This is Tanner from Oklahoma. Hey, I mean, I understand where everyone's coming from on something like that, but for me to say that any other sovereign person, because of their status or how they chose to make a living or what they've, you know, been involved with in a label or a license is going to make them all of the same character is something that I just personally couldn't do. I mean, I talk to guys all the time that say, you know, hey, I hate the way these judges are acting. It's so disgusting. I wish I could help them out. I'm trying to help this guy. I'm trying to help that guy. And they're bound just as much. You know, when I was listening to, I think it's the Barnett audios on our website, he talks about being friends to your enemy because you never know who's going to be the one that helps you, who wants a real change. I mean, that court clerk may be feel like they're bound at some point, but they really wouldn't want to see a change. We don't really know that. So I know there's guys out there that would want to help people and do the right thing, and eventually they're gonna. I mean, they're people. They can learn the same stuff we learn. And I also want to question, how can we say who is a people and who is not a people? Because you become a member of a bar association knowingly or not, maybe they didn't know or know what we know. How can we then remove them as part of the people?
Don, this is Roger. I'd like to just mention that from my point of view, I've never met yet an attorney that I think should be allowed to join for one fundamental reason, that is that they have the dual oaths, and the dual oaths, one to the Constitution, one to the bar, creates a conflict. And that means that they really can't have a solid allegiance to the Constitution. So I really support Dominic's position. I think it would be a huge mistake to even consider it seriously.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Huge.
We have an attorney that I know of that is part of NLA who gave up her bar license. So she's a lawyer. She's not an attorney.
Right.
And we welcome her in. She's good.
Yeah, but there's one problem you're missing. They have that bar license. You know, you don't have to be an attorney to counsel someone in law. Counsel has a different meaning. Simply means you're learned in the law. And if that's what the profession is that they're using, that's fine. They used the propaganda back somewhere along the line to say that it was unscrupulous people advising people in court. That was just to get their union in. So I'm on board with what Roger said there. With, you know, these attorneys, I don't think they ought to be a part of us. If they want to have a bar license, that's fine. Then go on and do your bar thing. But when you come into here, it's a different story. We're talking about people. We're not talking about attorneys and a private profession.
And, John, from a business point of view, you just look at it and say, well, what's the upside versus downside? And the upside's very small incremental upside, but the downside is huge. So
from an
analysis point of view, it just makes no sense.
Well, this is Tanner from Oklahoma. My basis would be off of principle, not about what we're fearing or what we would be afraid of or what we're trying to attack. I mean, if it really is in something, someone's hands greater than us, then we ought to act on principle.
And well, the thing that is they...
Let's restore the Constitution. The principle, I think, is let's restore the Constitution, restore justice to our justice system, not necessarily let the opposition and the enemy into our camp.
All right, John.
Hey, John, this is Andrew from Tennessee. I was wanting to throw something in. The Bar Association says, yes, we'll uphold the law of the land and the Constitution, but I think it's a play on words. Because if they don't adhere to the statutory laws, they can face reprimand from as an officer of the court. So I think it's impossible for a bar licensed lawyer to actually go through with common law because the judge actually has control over them according to the Bar Association. They are an officer of the court, meaning the bar attorney has to show up to a court when the judge says, I need you in my courtroom now. They show up whether they like it or not, or it's contempt of court. That's not what exists in common law.
What I'm a little confused about is when everybody talks about a bar license, first of all, there is no such thing as a bar license, okay?
Yeah, it's a member card.
Being a member of the bar is like having a Costco card, okay? That's the only difference. There's no such thing as a license, okay?
You're looking at their language, what they'll say is a license. Me and you both know it's a dues paid card. That's all it is to us.
There are three words that are associated with it. They're lawyers and liars, and that's all I've ever seen of those people. You know, we've had a constitution this whole time. Where have they been? Okay.
I think any attorney that comes on here and claims to be lawful and love the Constitution and stuff would be putting himself in a position of getting prosecuted worse because he has no excuse anymore. If he's going through our stuff, he knows what he's doing is treasonous, basically, right? So any attorney that's banging around this site and talking to us, he's got to know what everything he's doing is unconstitutional. And I mean, he can't even claim ignorance anymore. And
like I can't imagine.
But the truth is that weren't we all ignorant for the last 100 years? Didn't we all?
Yeah, but we didn't.
We were ignorant, but that's weren't making money on putting people in jail and violating
their
constitutional rights.
That's not the point. That's not the point. If you look at everything that gets done in court, there's four elements that is required, and I look at these lawyers and judges with the same thing. It's the duty, the breach of the duty, negligence or intent, and then the damages. They are intentionally damaging the people of this country. They're doing it through their bar membership, and they should not be allowed to be a part of NLA or anything else. If they're holding that bar card, we should not let them in. I don't care who they are.
I don't disagree that anybody that does something wrong should be, you know, exposed for that. But how can we say that in general, every single person that does one thing or one practice or is a member of one association knows and was willingly doing things to harm others?
Well, what is your experience with attorneys so far?
Now, here's the problem. John already said it. You can't have a bar attorney voting on a grand jury issue. It's a conflict of interest. They can't be in there. They're an officer over there. The judge could tell him, I order you to tell me who voted what, and he has to do it. He can't be in on our deliberations by virtue of the fact that he took it. Look at it. He's a foreign troop, whether you love it or not. Now, I know that's hard for people to understand, and maybe he did it ignorantly, but you know what they tell us when we do stuff ignorantly? Ignorance is no excuse of the law. Look, they can learn. Anybody can come on the site that wants to without signing up and get certain stuff. But as far as coming into the calls and voting on stuff, you cannot have bar attorneys. It would violate everything we stand against because they're an officer of the court. And
so how do you know that? I definitely don't disagree that they shouldn't be.
They have a foreign title, and the judge orders them around, and we couldn't look at if we got caught discussing this stuff in front of attorneys. Guess what? We could be prosecuted.
This is Rosanna from Ohio.
I would like to say something. This is Neva from Ohio.
All right, I'm going to yield.
And
you're too far from your mic. Get closer to your mic.
Find me an honest attorney.
Rosanna, get closer to your mic. We can't hear you.
I wish you would.
This is Rosanna from Ohio.
Yeah.
And then,
can you hear me now?
We got two Rosannas talking, I think. That's the problem.
This is Rosanna from Ohio.
Go ahead,
can you
Rosanna
hear me
from Ohio.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Before you go, Rosanna, we can hear you, but hang on 1 second. Gerard, look at your text chat on Skype. But go ahead, Rosanna.
I have something to say about the lawyers. God knows that I've been through probably the most of them, as John, you well know. But I've got 5 U.S.C. 7311. It says, any individual may not accept or hold a position in the government of the United States of the government of the District of Columbia if he advocates the overthrow of our constitutional form of government. Now, while they're lawyers, they still work for the court. That's period, the end. I'm not going to dispute that. They do work for the court. And so that's right there. That line puts them on a treasonous spot if they do anything with us. I don't see us trying to overthrow the government. I see us trying to, make it stronger, uphold the Constitution, give us our rights, blah, blah, blah. But, of course, you know, they don't look at it like
that.
We're simply
pushing the people into the government to do the job. That's all.
I know. I understand. But you understand that they don't look at it like that. They would look at it like we're trying to overthrow them. I'm saying that 5 U.S.C. 7311, everybody needs to look it up. That right there curtails any lawyers from helping us out. Now, here's what I will say. I know two lawyers in Illinois that have been sanctioned and removed from practicing law for, one of them's 4 years. He's been a lawyer for 50 years because these people are speaking out about the elders being swallowed up in the probate courts.
one lawyer has reported on four judges, and he got sanctioned by the disciplinary council in Illinois. If you want to touch any lawyers, if you want to get any help from any of them, you might try the ones who actually tried to do the honest thing and got sanctioned by their own people for doing it. That's where I would start, is with those people who are actually suffering because they're stepping out. You know what I'm saying? And filing against these judges and other people who are running amok with our judicial system. And I know a third one that's on the table right now because she's got a web blog out there, that reports on all this corruption in the court system. Good for them. And they're not the only three. There's a number of them across the country, I'm sure many of you understand, that have stepped out, and they've been sanctioned because they spoke against the Bar Association, their own bar affiliation. So if you're going to do anything, I surely would start with them. I would not get anybody in good standing with the bar. And that's my two cents on all this, and I'm sticking to it, and that's my story. But I did want to go ask you one other thing, John. As you know, much of my story, I saw those things in the presentment of this Fitzpatrick in Tennessee, which I just learned about him. I don't know, he's popped up. I think what's happening to him is terrible. It's absolutely terrible. But it's happening across the country to a lot of us. But I have been with NLA for a long time. I have stressed myself doing things for them when my own cases at sometimes have suffered for it. I filed criminal charges. These are professional according to their laws. I filed criminal charges on seven people last fall to the Logan County prosecutor, who basically agrees with me on all this thing, but he will not take it to the jury. He will not take it to the grand jury. Then I went to the clerk. She won't do it, the clerk of courts. I've been to the Ohio Attorney General. I have letters back from these people
now. Can you write an affidavit and get those letters together to
them? They are affidavit. Those criminal charges are done underneath a notary.
Can you send us a copy?
Yes, and I would like for you to put those up there because it shows that
I filed
seven, and I even have exhibits, not all, but some of the exhibits to prove what I put before the clerks. They're professional. They're just outlined by the Ohio Rules of Procedure, and they refuse to push these to the grand jury. I've even sent them to the FBI, who's supposed to be looking at my mom's murder. Murder, abuse of an elder, living in cat shit for all these years, $750,000 of theft of their estate. Those are all felonies. Those aren't misdemeanors.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, they're coming after me, trying to get me for criminal trespassing if I see my dad or go to their home. I can't stand this. This is too much. But, yes, I would like for you to put them out there because I think that
we'd like to add them to the case in New York here as a witness concerning these problems.
Can I send them to you through Skype?
Oh, yeah, that's the best way to get them to me.
Yeah, I sent
just
you
pile
something
them on.
All about
Doom, if you're going to leave your computer on tonight, do it tonight. If you're not, then do it tomorrow, and just pile on all the papers you got. I'll go through them and we'll get them together.
Okay, because you know this criminal trespassing. This judge still is throwing out my paperwork by pleading. She's sending them back to me, and you know that's against the law. We've talked about that. It's just endless.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't believe there's any consequences. That's why.
Yes.
This is Neil in Michigan.
Yes.
Okay, I'd like to comment on the lawyer situation. That everybody that's an NLA member takes an oath to uphold the Constitution, and so I think these lawyers, by that oath alone, are eliminating themselves from being a member. If they become a member and they say that they've taken that oath, then they're actually lying. So I don't see how.
Well,
they can...
I will say that I've been convinced to leave things the way they are. anybody that's a bar member is barred from NLA joining. That's the only person, so we'll leave it that way for right now.
Thank you.
This is Sarah again. There are some really good constitutional attorneys, but I think that what we should do once the grand juries are active, these attorneys that care or these ones that have been disbarred because of standing up against, they can file affidavits with the grand jury to be taken forward.
Well, if they don't have a bar card, then we don't care. We'll let them in. If they don't, if they don't have a bar, that means
that's
that they
the
don't
key.
Have
yeah, that's the
see,
key.
See, the judge controls them by the bar card, their membership card. So I'm telling you, we have an attorney. We have maybe more than one. I know of one who does a lot of common law and UCC stuff. And she has no bar card. She gave it up because she said it's evil and I can't hold to it. And she's a good person and she's a good lawyer. She, you know what I mean? She's a lawyer. She's a counselor. She's not an attorney. Okay. I mean, look at she graduated. She has her master's and her bachelor's and all this stuff. And she's very good. You know.
John, gentleman from Nebraska.
Yes.
I have a question about what's going on in Dixie County down in Florida. Now, is the grand jury officially in that courthouse?
I'll have to let Hagen respond to that.
I just did.
Yes.
They are.
We went in. They did not obstruct us. We went in, did our thing this morning, came out unobstructed, no problems. And the attorney, of course, made his little snide comments to our foreman, but we could care less. You know, he's trying to save himself from shame before the statutory grand jury is what he's trying to do.
Okay. Now, I guess my other question is, from that position, can they make it easier for any other jury to go in anywhere else? Can they issue an order? Can they true bill? What can they do?
I don't think we should discuss that right now, Hagen.
Yeah. Okay. But what we're I think there's one thing we can discuss. We, you know, in my opinion, something happened today that was miraculous. You know, I've been praying for a long time for this day to come, and the spark of freedom was lit today. Because we got into that courthouse, no one tried to stop us. We got the job done, and we will help others to know what to do and how to do it.
Yeah, it sets a precedent too. They love precedent, don't they? Well, guess what? You just set a precedent today, didn't you? And now you got to get that big gold star that I've been building.
Let's give that praise to Roger and Terry. I was in the background watching. I was that kind of like that evil, watching what's going on, but I'm not evil.
John,
but I enjoy watching two good men work.
This is just the beginning of the tidal wave, believe me.
Yes.
John, this is Joe up in Massachusetts.
How you doing, Joe?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm so happy to hear about what's going on down there in Florida. I'm hoping to be part of that tidal wave coming forward. And I was wanting to find out if there are places. I'm new to NLA. I'm trying to find out where I can read some other affidavits of people who've been, you know, in the surf before, because I'm getting ready to write some of my own that I'd like to send to you in our state. But I'd really like to be able to do it right, and I didn't know if there was a place where I could read some
Well, yeah, you know, the key thing is this. Look, there's a lot to learn on the website. You go to the common law page and get everything into there. If you know process and procedure of courts, that's fine. If not, you take a hold of the court access course, and you can go through that. Also, the big thing is reading our cases. Go and read the cases. I'm going to go up. I'm going to try to find time within the next week to go up there and reorganize that page a little differently, so it's a little more that it could be appreciated a little better. Maybe I don't know. I'll see what I can do. But you know, go read all those cases. You know, all those papers, and you might want to start from the beginning and head to the front. You know, and then come up to the top. the stuff on the top is better, obviously, than the stuff on the bottom, because we have a year of experience by the time we get to the top. But remember, the focus is this. The whole focus is trying to get access into the court. We only indict people who are preventing us from getting into the court. And we're adding to that now certain informations, okay? And we're also adding any indictment or potential indictment concerning the corruption of the existing juries. So those are the things we can only deal with. We're not going to deal with any other case or anything. It's just not... It's not beneficial in what we're trying to do. As much as there's a lot of cases that we'd love to get to, we don't have the authority and the power yet. We've got to get into the courts to really take that power. But right now, we've got to focus in on the cases that will bring us into the court. So if you got those kind of cases or you could develop those kind of cases, they're easy to develop. Just file a few papers in a few counties and then visit the counties trying to get into the court and see who obstructs you. And hey, whoever obstructs you is your target.
I have a question. This is Carl in hello? Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Carl.
Hi, this is Carl in Orange County. John or whoever, is there a network of people I can pass by certain questions to? And I think I have a situation where the U.S. assistant attorney, talking about attorneys since stay on subject, I think he's outright committed fraud in my case.
You can rest assured, yes.
What's that?
You can rest assured he has.
Well, he it looked like he put a motion of for a summary judgment, and then he wrote. Then when I answered it, and it was a good answer. He sent a letter to the judge.
Well, the answer to the summary judgment is this is common law. That's not permitted.
No, I realize that, but you know, if it's your own court, you can proceed with an answer and go forward. There's no...
But why?
Well, because it speeds things up. It's actually a beneficial thing in some terms. If you look at my situation, January is when I filed the case, and here's a chance. They're doing a motion for dismissal, and then they also, what he looked like, he did a summary judgment, a motion, and then I answered it. I said, okay, fine. You want a summary judgment? No problem. Here's all the facts. Here's the affidavit.
A summary judgment.
here's
where you're
going,
Carl. I love it.
So I'm put all together, all the information, how the IRS is not a government agency, how it's not positive law. It's, you know, 7806 says it's not even legal statutes, and blah, put all this together. And then he sends a letter to the judge saying that I'm doing the motion, and then he needs this to be obeyed. He wants an abeyance. So, of course, you know, the judges, they're in each other's pockets. He agrees and puts it off to November 23rd. But it looks, you know, like to me it's somewhat fraud. So I just was wondering if there's as people are having these cases, such as myself and others who are on this call, is there a network of people to talk to? You know, pass by. Let me send a document. It's a simple 2-page document someone could read and say, yeah, you know what? This guy started the judge. He started the motion, not you. Why is he responding this way, right? Am I crazy? You know, that's really what
What's his wherefore clause?
Just to have another pair of eyes look at this stuff. What?
If he's doing a summary judgment, what's his wherefore clause?
He did
what's
a motion for a summary judgment.
Okay, so he's doing a motion for a summary judgment, but he's not laying out what that summary judgment
he
is.
He says
in his
2 pages, he says that he's in the summary. Part of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure is if there's someone requests this, you have to produce facts that are outside what people would disagree, what people haven't agreed on, right? Because he does a motion for dismissal. He's agreeing to the facts. Now he's saying, here's a motion for summary judgment. So bring your affidavits and facts that have not been agreed to. That's what the summary judgment would require. So I did. And then he's saying that, Judge, he didn't follow your rules, your individual rules for a motion. This needs to be obeyed. This needs to be delayed. And the judge was like, oh, okay. He waited till I sent my reply in, the judge. That day, then he sends out a letter as though he didn't even read my response.
Bear in mind, what you have to realize is that you're giving them jurisdiction. You're playing ball in their ballpark. You can make whatever standing you want. You can protect whatever standing you want. They don't care because in their court, they can say, today we'll give them standing because we feel like it. Tomorrow we're not going to because we feel like it because we're the king and we could do whatever we want because he's in our court. You see, that's the problem with your case, that you've been brought into their court. The fact that you responded to that brings you back into their court. You should be objecting to the process, the procedure. You should be saying, what jurisdiction am I in? I thought we're in a common law process. I thought this was a court of record. And there is, how can a judge make a decision on a summary judgment? He's not the tribunal. That tells you you're not in the right court. In a common law court, there's no such thing as a summary judgment.
I have an Amory jurisprudence, a version one definition that I put in my summary judgment. It really shows that
But you put yourself into their court. You're giving the judge the ability to make a decision. You're giving them jurisdiction. You're going to the judge and asking for a summary judgment. Don't you see that?
No.
You're saying to the judge, you could be the tribunal. I go along
no,
with
no,
that.
No. First of all, I didn't. This clown did. This U.S. assistant attorney did. And rather than, in my answer, I said it's normal proceedings and normal common law summary judgment is not part of the common law. I said that.
Right.
However, as a part of the American jurisprudence definition, a court can do whatever it feels is necessary for justice. It's a nice definition. So ultimately, I did check this out with Bill, and he's saying, hey, you know what? If they're going to ask for a summary judgment, go for it. Now this is different than his. I know Bill has talked about this in the past, and what you said is correct.
I disagree. You've given a principle for expediency. I disagree.
Well, it's in your court. You can do, you know, your
yeah,
own.
Yeah, of course you can do whatever you want,
judge,
but
right?
What you're doing is playing into their court. Don't you understand from their perspective, they're just wringing their hands and say, we got this guy because we could do with him whatever we want because he's going along. He's playing ball.
Well, they've been doing that all along, and I've been correcting
them. Of course
they
have, and you should have been objecting all along, and don't get lost. Look at, you know, Bill knows this. He said it before. Just keep your mouth shut in court, man. Just object. That's all, because they're so slick, they can pull you right in. And they're pulling you in paperwork. Now, they shouldn't get you in paperwork, but they're doing it. No, your argument should be, what jurisdiction am I in, Your Honor? You have a duty to speak. Tell me the jurisdiction. Are we not in a common law procedure? How is it that we can possibly be in some foreign court here? How is it that you think that you can make some rules into this court, some ruling into this court? You don't have that authority. You're the magistrate. You're not the tribunal. This is a court of record.
Yeah, they ignore all this stuff. I mean, obviously,
Well, of course they will. They're going to steamroll you. You've got to sue them now.
Well, I know that's where... I know that's what you've recommended and other things, you know, similar. Nothing's changed in that. But, again, it's always helpful to see if others are going through this. For example, a private attorney general, he's statutory. I mean, I know you guys are talking about – I know you talked to Rod Class and you'd like to bring him along, but he's based on statutes. Congress allowed his position by statutes. So he's stuck in the statutory realm. It's going to be hard.
Well, he is kind of stuck in the statutory realm. I agree with you. He's not all the way here where we're at, but he's far enough along, and he's got some really great points, and he does a real good job and a bunch of other things. He's missing a few things, and I think now that he's linked up with us, so to speak, linked up with us, not really he's connected with us in any particular way, but we're communicating is the key. And as time goes on, it's like anyone else. We have our epiphanies. We pick up something off someone else and we realize, wow, you know, that was really enlightening. Yeah. I see a whole new way of looking at this now. You see, he's going to reach that point because he's got the ability to reach in that point because he's out there always looking for the next thing, trying to figure things out. He's puzzling, just like you and I are, okay, trying to figure it out. And but in any event, I'm telling you, in your court, they're gonna railroad you,
And, well, they're railroading me tomorrow. The magistrate is going to decide tomorrow on the motion for dismissal anyway. So all
object,
he conveniently
he doesn't have the authority.
Did. Oh, I know. I'm there. I could have jumped the gun and made a decision prior to his, but you know what? Let's just. I needed time. I needed a break from this crap. So tomorrow he's going to come out with his decision. I'm going to correct him. It's not his place to do it. And it goes really to what happens on the record. At the end of the game, whose papers are last, right? Who has really said who owns the court, not the magistrate, right? And that's where I'm at. I'm just going along. I'm just really, here's fraud. I mean, I don't know what else to call it. Here's a U.S.
Well, you got the right word right there, fraud.
I mean,
that's
it's right in black and white. I mean, the guy, I don't know. I wanted someone else to see it. Bill said, this is what they do. They muddy the waters. The judge knows it. He's, they're in each other's pockets, whatever. But it's just bizarre. Could it be that corrupt that they just go ahead and make this thing and then deny that they did it?
It is that corrupt. It's so corrupt that they have no fear of their corruption at all. None. Anywhere you go, they don't care who sees and who knows anymore because they're so untouchable. We're discovering why they feel so untouchable. They control these juries so tightly. They got them bound up. There's no way that they have the ability to do any kind of a presentment, nor do they even know about presentments against a judge. It's just not going to happen. That's why what's going on down in Florida is huge. Huge.
And Walter's case, too.
And in Walter's case, that's right. This is huge. Okay.
There are things that I know about in Walter's case that have been shared with me. It will freak you out what these criminals will do to cover up their own crimes by committing other crimes and framing other people for committing those crimes that they covered up.
John?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
John, Jason here.
How you doing?
I have a interesting case where the person lives, his domicile is in Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania, and she has a court case in Warren County for legal transportation of her children to New Jersey.
We can't unless there is connection somehow to the juries, we can't touch that case.
So you're looking at the jury tampering, nothing else.
But obstruction of justice in the jury tampering, conspiracy with the jury, anything concerning a problem with the jury, either getting access to the grand jury or you warn the jury and you see how they control the jury as a puppet. The fact that they control the jury is really those are the things we want to expose because that's our point. That's why we're coming in. That's why we're going into the courts to take control of them because these people are out of control.
So the aspect of doing something with fraud in the court on people is not the issue right now. It's just that.
No, it cannot be. It cannot be. We don't have the authority yet to be able to do that. I mean, we'd be filing cases and we'd get so lost in what we're doing. And we have one purpose. One focus, one goal, and that is to save the nation. After saving the nation, then we want to bring justice to the people. But first, we got to bring justice to the courts and put this whole chaotic political judicial process back under justice again. And that's going to take 30 to 60 days once we're in the courts. But until we get into the courts, the only thing we can do is we can write certain informations that are advantageous to us for the purpose. You know, by writing certain informations and putting it into the court, it makes them more and more nervous because we're exposing what they're doing, okay? And that's why certain informations is good. Now, but the key thing is, as far as an indictment, the only indictment we can do is people who are preventing us from getting into the court or corruption within the system concerning the juries that we can show and see and prove through affidavit.
Hey, John, if I might?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Andrew from Tennessee. I understand what you're talking about. You're worried about the family courts. what if I could reiterate what John was saying, we're going to get into the grand jury rooms. We're going to expose the corruption in it. That's the main issue. Because once this gets set and done, and then the other corruptions like your family courts, which is the biggest facade I have seen in the justice system.
It's the greatest evil.
It's the greatest evil. It's the greatest joke amongst the whole entire thing. Once we get to
I second that motion.
I've done divorces and custody twice, and it's the biggest joke. The family courts do nothing but harm the family and destroy kids' lives.
The fabric of America. The fabric of America.
Yeah.
Our children, they're destroying, and the parents, they're destroying.
And once we get the grand jury rooms fixed and we get the corruption out of there and say the family court does their thing and they are taking people's children away from them for dumb crap that's not even their business, then we can step in and fix the family court and say, hey, stop. No. CPS, DPS, family court,
in a way,
it's all a joke.
Without even the right process and alienating the children. I mean, it's unbelievable. And this is...
I'm saddling my horse as we speak.
The reason why the government thinks they can come and take your kids when they want, when they feel they can, is it goes back to the birth certificate and the corporate fiction
that goes on.
They think they own your kids.
Because, again, they own the children because in the ward state, that's the only way the establishment control is in the ward state. We don't even own our children. We don't even own anything in this really world because everything is a loaner because of the imperialist consumerism that we are subjected to make us enslaved to their things that we need. If electricity was tomorrow, we'd all have starved to death.
Here's how the family courts work. They will take an emergency hearing without any cause, just a sworn testimony. They will take that from a DCS agent or CPS agent, however you want to put it. They'll go in, take the kid, and then write the emergency order after kids are retaken, and then the case should be heard within 3 days. That never happens. I've seen people without their kids for 6 months before they get a hearing.
4 years.
Huh?
4 years.
Yeah.
And some of them
I've been out for over 10, 15 or more years.
Yeah. Without a regular hearing.
What Dominic is saying is he hasn't seen his child in 4 years.
And I tried, man. Let me tell you something. I tried.
Yeah.
And I lost my other two children. And that's a whole nother story. I would give anything just to sit down with them for an hour and tell them how I feel. But I've never been given that opportunity. And nobody knows more than me how much suffering I have been through, man. I lost everything I had. Everything.
Hey, John, this is Tanner from Oklahoma. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Tanner. Go ahead.
Hey, Thomas Fiddler is the head of the Fathers' Rights Movement, and I was having trouble getting a hold of the guy I used to talk to here in Oklahoma. I'm going to send him some information, clips of our recordings that talk about family court and try to see, because it's a large amount of people in that movement that might be willing to consider this as the catalyst for change. But I was also wondering if... I don't hope that feedback's not me, but I was also wondering if there was a way I could take my family court case. I mean, they're threatening me with more and more jail, and it's just getting worse and worse, and the fines are piling up, and I won't be able to keep up, and that's the goal. I'll be in jail. So if there's a way that I could use the jury and help you with your cause to expose what's going on in my particular situation and family court situation. That's turned criminal. It has criminal aspects. It's two courts, you know.
Yeah, the only problem, again, is no direct link to the jury, or unless you've tried to get to the grand jury and you've been blocked. I mean, that's a story. You see,
well, I'm
there's
saying,
a lot of people
that
have been blocked. Oh, should you try that? Well,
yeah,
why not?
Because I mean,
why not?
Yeah, they're gonna do whatever they're gonna do to me anyways. I might as well make something that's useful to you out of it.
Yeah, if you can try to get to the grand jury and you can do affidavits after they block you, because they're going to block you. Look at nobody gets to talk to the grand jury unless the grand jury calls those people before them. And the grand jury doesn't call anyone before them because they're totally handled by the prosecutor. The prosecutor decides who's going to come in and who's not, and he certainly is not going to let anybody come in that's going to affect his case, because there's money to be made in his case to find him guilty to begin with. There's a game going there, number one, and there's money for the judge, so they're making each other money. That's to begin with. But the other thing is there's nobody that's on the outside that's going to come in and say, I'd like to talk with the grand jury, and they're not going to permit it. They never do, and they never will, because it's too dangerous for them, because they know these people are coming in for what purpose? To report on someone that's doing them a wrong that's in government. Certainly they're not reporting on their neighbor, okay? They're reporting on a government agent, usually a judge or a lawyer or somebody.
So it should be fairly simple. I mean, last we talked, you said to sue in federal court, but at what part of the process would I just go to the grand jury and say, hey, there's some stuff going on here, and then just get it simple, watch them say what they're going
to
say?
It's that simple. Try to get the ear of the grand jury. Go in there and, do what get a hold of Roger if you can tomorrow and ask him.
Roger?
Yeah, because what they're doing is they're testing letters, where they'll send a letter for the grand jury's eyes only, for the foreman of the grand jury's eyes only, and kind of follow that process that you send something into them, you want to talk to them about an issue and the corruption in family court, and put it in a sealed envelope and do it the way he does it, so that they can't open it. But they're going to stop it.
That's Roger from Florida, right?
Correct.
And yeah, he was talking about.
He's the one who runs the state meetings on Tuesdays. Him and
right.
I don't know if Hagen's involved with that now, but I think there's Terry's involved with that. And but
yeah,
Roger's the guy you want to talk to.
Yeah. Okay. I'll get in touch with him.
John, this is Charlie.
How you doing, Charlie?
Hey, by the way, Dominic,
Did you talk to that individual who I'd like to post
the... Yeah, and I think I already sent him a voicemail and an email and spoke with him today. It's going to be published.
Okay. Yeah, I'll try
to
give you a call tomorrow. So.
Yeah,
hey, John.
It's done.
Well, hello?
But anyhow...
Hello?
Can I make my point? Everyone that's spoken about the family court, it's called the family court industry, and you are correct. It is the most lucrative, I believe, next to traffic court, okay? But, John, as far as I want to go back to an original point that David mentioned, and he brought up Title 18 in some of the crimes, but I'm sending you and Gerard official oppression, which is part of Title 18, which I think is pretty well encompassing of what's going on. Okay, and as far as status and standing, and I'll stop on this one. I don't want to be ostracized, but I'm going to send you and Gerard some of the information about the definitions of a legal fiction, which we are presumed to be. Okay, and Gerard, if you have relationship with a non-bar attorney, and she has UCC information, she's going to understand a lot of this stuff, but a legal fiction is an assumption that is something that is false or non-existent is true or real. Legal fiction.
You do realize that I am not a legal fiction.
Okay, but unless we make that affidavit, John, even though we're making the declaration or common law, I think there are other steps that we must make.
Why must we make an affidavit? just think about that. Why must we make an affidavit concerning the fact that we already know that we're flesh and blood, we're a human being, we have unalienable rights, and they cannot take it from us? They're the fiction,
okay.
We're the reality. Let them come to our court. We'll bring them
into
our court.
Yeah, they want us to prove the negative. They got to prove the negative.
Okay, hey, John and Gerard, I agree with you.
Hey, Charlie, those presumptions are not so in a common law court, only in the equity or the maritime courts.
Right, but we do not exist in that world at this point. Even
exactly.
though we might make that declaration or proclamation, asseveration, they are assuming we are still, you know, 1871 corporate citizens.
In the common law courts, they don't presume that.
Okay, but under their dictionary. Okay, under their dictionary.
Yeah, but who cares about
that?
When you go into their court, you call the court for what it is. It's a fraud. It's not real. It's a fiction. It has nothing to do with me. What are you doing here? And you see, the moment they start talking their statutes and they pull you into this foreign court, you have now just been hijacked. You now got, you know, U.S. 42, you got U.S. 18, you got all of those codes that you can start to apply, and you've been kidnapped into a foreign court. And that's a conspiracy because the lawyer and the judge worked this out between them. And you got to make it clear in court that this is not the jurisdiction that you're in. They're in the wrong jurisdiction. And it's fraud on the court if he doesn't be honest.
John, I am in total agreement with you. But according to legal definitions, which we do not consent to, they basically are saying that a legal fiction is an assumption. That is something that is false or non-existent, is true or real.
But we don't deal with that which is legal. We deal with that which is lawful.
Okay.
So, I hear what you're saying, and I used to agree with that because I didn't have the perception of the other side yet. But at one point, I did the declaration. I went down to the county. I filed my papers, just like a lot of other people. I didn't put, you know, this language that certain people use that I didn't use. I just didn't feel it necessary, and so I did it my way. But I filed my papers, and now I look back, I never had to do that. That wasn't necessary. All I did was give them some authority of being something that they're not. I played into their fraud, and I've actually, by doing that, have played into their fiction, have played into their jurisdiction, because I gave them reality in my world. And I'm not giving them reality in my world. They're coming into my world. My world is reality. They're a fiction. They're a fraud. They get one chance, and if they don't do the right thing, I don't go back to them no more because now they're in the defendants list. They're going to go there for conspiracy, and I'm going to go after them for a whole bunch of violations. They've hijacked me and taken me into a foreign court. They've taken custody of my person in a foreign court that they have no authority. The whole thing is a fraud from day one. I don't care what happened in 1881 or whatever year. I don't care about any of that stuff because it doesn't mean anything. They never given the authority.
Well,
we have a government created by the people, and we've ordained and established this Constitution for the United States of America, and nothing can break that. Nothing. Anything that breaks that is subversion against the United States. And
right.
they're guilty of high treason.
That's
okay,
correct.
John,
from their perspective, that's what they're operating under, and that's why they steamroll people. But you see, when you're coming in, because we have this people power of National Liberty Alliance, they now have to listen to that argument. When you go in there, and especially if you make a mistake and you don't really know it, you know, verbatim, they will steamroll you. But one of the reasons that this is going to prevail is because we have a major movement here. It's, you know, it's one thing if you have one person coming and they steamroll them, there's no newspaper articles, and you have nobody following you in court. And who cares about little old you sitting in front of that court? I mean, they're ruining people's lives every day. And you're going, oh, no, I'm flesh and blood. I'm this and I'm that. And they're laughing at you. But you see, one of the reasons we're going to prevail is because this information is now out there, and there's actually a movement of people. And not only that, when they look up and they see a movement of people, the officials that have the authority to do something, they go, why don't they act? Why don't they act? One of the reasons they haven't acted is because they know that they wouldn't make it home at night, you see. But when they see a bunch of people coming out, moving as a force, some of these judges and some of these prosecutors and some of these attorneys that are really, really bothered by this may actually start stepping forward, like the, some of the ones who have and lost their license. The other guys have seen that, and that put them deeper in the hole. But now, with us coming through and going after even federal district judges and stuff, this should shake them loose. This is an opportunity. Even a sheriff, he can't go out there and arrest a judge. It's like committing suicide if he doesn't have the people behind him, and that is to say the grand jury. Because the prosecutor, he can arrest anybody he wants, and guess what? He has to turn it to the prosecutor. And the prosecutor will throw it in the garbage. And what's the sheriff do now? Now he's exposed himself, and it's only a matter of time before they trip him up and get rid of him.
Right.
So this has been a problem for a long time, and it's going to come to an end now.
Yeah,
they're going to destroy that sheriff politically.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly, and John, they know how to do that. I believe me, I was in politics. I know how they work politically, and I know how they work with the media. And look, I'm a big mouth. You know how I am, and I was no different when I was on the town board, and I found corruption in my town, and I was naive because I believed all those things. I believed that there was some good people out there, you know? And I mean, I'm not saying that there's no good people out there, but I know why the good people aren't jumping up, you know what I mean? I understand now.
Hey, John.
And I apologize, gentlemen. All I was just talking about was a definition, okay, where you're almost in a catch-22, damned if you do, damned if you don't, okay? Because, again, if an assumption is, you know, is something that is false or non-existent, is true or real, they're converting. And they're putting you into a matrix.
Well, I like the Marine Corps answer to that.
Okay,
you know what
ahead.
The Marine Corps answer is to an assumption? Never assume, because it makes an ASS out of you and me.
I like that one, Gerard. Thank you, sir.
John,
I just wanted to bring that up.
Don't let me get distracted, John. I had an epiphany about that clerk up there in the district court and him entering our stuff in civilly.
Yes.
I just thought of something, and that could be a real big asset for him. He doesn't even realize the nugget he just gave us. And as a matter of fact, I don't even want to speak of it on here. I want to talk to you
about
that.
We'll talk to it in private after the call. We'll spend a few minutes.
Because this, I realize something that's big, and he we're going to use him as an asset. But anyway, I won't
say
anymore.
And we're going to be doing something with that within a week, so once we do it, we'll reveal
whatever. Yeah, I don't think he thought he made a smart move, but we're getting like them. How can we use this? You know, this is what they've been doing
They revealed a lot of their hand to us in the conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't dawn on me in the conversation.
Don't be hanging that carrot there for us to, you know, have to wonder what you're talking about now.
We'll let you all know within a week, because we're gonna play on it. We're gonna play on it this week, and then everybody's gonna know.
We don't want them to get too smart too fast now, do we?
I yield the floor, gentlemen. Thank you for the time.
All right, Sally,
the gentleman that you spoke of is definitely gonna share his testimonial. I think it's gonna be a good one. Thank you.
Okay, hey, John.
Yes. Yes, go
John.
Ahead. Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump in here real quick. I wanted to jump off the line. My name is Marvin Young. I've been going through the same thing in Monroe County that Walter has. Actually, I'm friends with him. He's helped me quite a bit on some things. And David and JW and George and Victor and stuff here in East Tennessee has been a great help and have conversed with me. But I just want to make this quick statement and then ask a question and then I'll step out. I'm up against 2A felonies here, especially aggravated kidnapping and a aggravated burglary as the result of retaliation, if you will, because of some proof that I have of a forged will in my father's estate. And I pretty much just let everybody else, make their own picture of what Walt's going through. This is exactly what I'm going through. The same thing with the grand jury and all and everything. I'm going August the 25th for a status hearing, and they're looking to revoke my bond. And I'm quite certain that if I go to Monroe County Jail, the same thing will happen to me or worse that happened to Walt. So what I want to know is what do I have I can present to NLA to help your cause? And I'll step back and let you answer.
Well, What's the story with jury or the grand jury in your case?
Same thing. The Hickson report that Walt has applies to my situation. June, for the life of me, I forgot her last name. But anyhow, the same situation, same thing that Walt's going through is the same thing that applies to me. He's in McMinn County, which is the next county over from us. But what he went through in Monroe County is exactly the same thing. I'm underneath Carol Lee Ross, just like he was. And the same thing with the grand jury.
Are you Central or Eastern?
I'm Eastern time.
Okay. Well, why don't you call me tomorrow evening about 8:30 Eastern time? We'll talk a little bit.
Okay. Where do I get your number from?
845-233.
I apologize.
65. I thought everybody had this anyway, so.
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
845.
I'm getting something right with here. I'm sorry. I wasn't
okay.
Prepared. Okay, say it again.
845.
Okay.
233.
Okay.
6560.
Okay.
Or if you're on Skype, right. Just add me, John Duresh, on Skype. I can get me on Skype.
I just have got on Skype, and I'm not real versed in it, so it'd be better just to call you.
Hey, John.
Yeah, call me, and we'll see if your case can fit into what we're doing. So, again, anything.
Hey, John, I got one quick thing for this guy.
Okay.
Hey, sir, I know you don't know me, but I've been researching your case. John, this man is just as important as the commander's cases. They're actually tied. I know that for a fact after research I did, because after the Channel 6 has called me on a few other issues, they asked me about this gentleman's name, and then I researched him. This guy's information that he can bring you will actually match with the Commander Walters.
Why don't
case
you try
well.
To tie into us tomorrow evening at about 8:30 or so, also if you want. Okay?
Yeah. If you actually call and talk to Sharon, she can actually give you way more information than I can, because Sharon has actually been following his issue just as long
as Sharon.
Just
is Sharon on the line now?
No,
she was. That's who I was trying to get in earlier, but she unmute. She's very, very versed in Walter and my situation.
Okay, so if you get Sharon, she can call me too. She's got my number, but I'm sure she still has it. So she can call in tomorrow. I'll look at it. If I'm not here at 8:30, I'll be here like maybe 10 minutes later. You know, Friday night, I try to stay away from the computer for a couple hours, and then I come back on at about 8:30. So you should get me at about 8:30, and we'll pull in anyone that calls in to the call.
I understand, and I appreciate this call speaking up in my behalf. I appreciate that, and I will call you tomorrow, and we'll talk.
Okay.
Thanks a whole lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, John,
I'm coming
close
to the end, but we got a little more time. Go ahead. Who's next?
Yeah, I'm sorry, John. I'm just going to add this, and I'm going to stop and just listen. That gentleman just spoke. I can't press how important his case will be, along with Walter's case. They actually tie. Walter's case actually begun just at the sheer ending of what happened to him. You'll see that they overlap, even though they're separate counties. They will actually tie. I think Walter was actually at the court arraignment with this gentleman, or went to go support him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, but like I said, you'll have to ask Sharon. You'll actually see that a lot of his information will tie right there with Walter's. And that's all I have to say.
All right, we'll talk tomorrow. All right, who else? Anybody else wants to pipe in here?
Time to go to bed.
I know it is, but go ahead. There was a couple of voices I know still want to talk. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, hello. What's your name?
Gina.
How you doing, Gina?
I can hear me.
I can hear you.
I wanted to know, is asking for a jury trial the same thing as going before the grand jury?
Oh, no, you don't ask for a jury trial. You demand one. No, a grand jury only deals with criminal situations, okay? So for anybody to be charged criminally, hold on a minute. I'm coming through someone. Hold on a second. Let me just... Okay. If for anyone to be charged criminally, they have to take them to the grand jury. Of course, they've been bypassing that, and that makes it that's all unlawful. But that's what the jury's for. If the government wants to charge you with something, they can't bring you into court They cannot charge you. They can't try you. They can't do anything. They have to go ask the permission of the people. And the people have to accept or deny, and that's the grand jury. The problem is they've taken control of that. It's a puppet. So that's with the grand jury. Now, once you get into court and you go to trial, well, you deserve a trial by jury. And they can't take that away from you either. But again, they've hijacked both juries, and they totally control the outcome of the cases. Everybody's guilty. You're always guilty. You ever go to, you know,
when I was going through what I was going through, and they kidnapped our children, and we going from everybody that we can think of that we thought would help us, and everybody
right.
working together against us. And
that's
I filed
right.
the case in federal court, and I checked the box where it says that you want a jury trial, and they kept giving me to run around. Next thing I know, they dismisses my case.
Right, that's what they do. They don't that. They'll never give you a jury trial. They'll try to get rid of you in every way they can, and they do. They do it all the time. They did it to us in the very beginning. I mean, it was insane. Constantly, we always went in for a jury trial.
John,
we never.
Could I ask a quick question? I demanded a jury trial in all my papers. I wrote it out, and they said no. You're getting a bench trial, and then they put me in Rikers for 11 months. Yeah, no, but I'm wondering how does that buy into your agenda of, you know, I want to go in front of the grand jury. I demanded to go in front of the grand jury.
You see, that's the only kind of way, that's the only court they're ever going to get once we get in power. If they don't come to us, they ain't getting in court. They try to go around us in any way, shape, or form, we'll put them all in jail. We'll indict them all, okay? So it's a very simple process for the people to take control of. So we're going to require, you got a problem, you're going to be able to, we're setting up a directory. And, you know, it's pretty much almost set up. We just have to wait till we start our course and start to get the administrators to tap in there. Well, we will set up a directory, and that directory will give you access to the grand jury anywhere in the nation. You look up your state, you look up your county, and you'll get a phone number. Now, it's going to take a little while to develop the whole nation. But you can always go to the county next door. If you find someone in a county next door that has the setup and they're going, once we're in.
What I'm asking is this happened in Manhattan. So this is like, you know, this is Manhattan where I've got a criminal court judge who's been, you know, on the bench for 40 years, and I'm saying, pardon me, I want a jury trial, and I'm going.
Yeah, he's most likely going to end up in prison because, you know, look, once we get in, there's going to be a lot of complaints on him. And then we're going to have to deal with him, aren't we?
Lucky for me that he did to me what he did to two other people, and they had their sentences reduced. But they lie outright. I mean, you know, at the beginning
Absolutely.
Of this, I was like, I want a jury trial. How can you? And you know, every attorney I talked to, the Manhattan District Attorney's Office lied outright. Well, you know, the most severe charge is under 6 months. You get a bench trial. Don't give me this nonsense. You take my liberty from me for 1 second. I get a jury trial. I wrote my own papers. I submit in the court. I want a jury trial over and over again.
The fix is in, and you're in the wrong court, and you don't know how to get out. That's the problem. People don't know. They don't understand what they're in. They don't understand that they can get out. They don't understand how to get out. And that's what we're trying to tell people. But our biggest message is not so much that as it is, let's fix the whole darn thing. Let's get in there. Let's take control. Let the people get in, and let's get the grand juries in control. And once that happens, we don't have to worry about teaching the other side because all that just goes away. You just come to the grand jury and make your complaint. The grand jury will always be open to the people. You won't have to go to the United States attorney to get in the district you live in to get into the to see the grand jury. You make the phone call and you'll get the administrators, and the administrators will probably solve most problems without even having to go through the process. I think phone calls are going to fix all kinds of problems real quick. And once that starts happening, people are just going to start obeying. You know, they're going to behave, okay, because they know they're going to get the call from the grand jury.
The other question I wanted to ask you real fast is there's a tenants move in Newark, and many of the tenants want to join the grand jury because the system is so corrupt. So I think that's a real fine opportunity. I'm sending Jason to go to one of the tenant meetings tomorrow and see if he can get, you know.
When you get out there, get it to him and tell him, look, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. Thomas Jefferson, okay? Get that point to them. You want freedom, you got to work for it. You want justice, you got to work for it. You're in the world. The world is full of... Look, the prince and power of the air is who? Satan is the power and the prince and power of the air. Okay? He won this world by reason of conquest. This is his world. Okay? So it's always going to be a battle. It's always going to be a fight. But you see, if you're on the right side and you got a bent knee to the creator of the universe, then, hey... You know, you're going to be taken care of, but you're still going to have to battle. You got to stand up for what's right. You got to do some homework. You got to learn. You got to do things. Nothing comes free. And so that's what you got to tell these people, because a lot of people, they want their tweets. Look, I can't tell you how many people on NLA, no less, on our website, I can't tell you how many people will call me up or send me an email on very simple, silly things that the answer is right there on the front page. You know?
Yeah, I know.
They ask for things.
Yeah, I get that a lot. I get that a lot. With my tenants association.
Yeah.
Well, here, let me come and dump my problems in your lap.
They have been trained not to read. They've been trained at best to tweet. Okay?
Yeah.
That's it. You get a tweet. If I can't tweet to them and they can't tweet to me, there's no communications at all. You see, we got to get away from that. We got to recapture our schools, and the people that are out of the schools and have been trained, they got to retrain themselves. They're going to get beat up and beat up and beat up and beat up until they decide they're not going to get beat up no more. Then how do I stop getting beat up? Well, I got to build my muscles. In this case, you got to build your intellectual muscle and the judicial process, procedures, your spiritual life. You have to recapture and take control of your spiritual life, your political life, and your judicial life. And if you don't take care of those three parts of your life, what are you living for? What's the purpose? There is no purpose. You know, family, of course, but that's in order to take care of family, you have to control those three aspects anyway to really take care of your family. So this is the message we got to get to the people. We got to learn. We got to get out there. We got to.
No,
we got to realize.
I'm good. I have people in Brooklyn. I just, you know, if I could get out from under the paperwork on my own litigation, there's plenty of people that are. I mean, Corey and I just talked to one or two people. They all want to join. I got a great guy in Queens, who's very knowledgeable. He wants to be an administrator. You know, it's like, I'm going to bring him to the calls next week. It's, you know, what can I do? He'll bring his own church. You're preaching to the choir there, because they're from the Deep South, and they've integrated, you know, they've broken the color barrier, so they know what work needs to be done. Their legal work is very good. But I'll stop talking now, so I'm going to mute myself. Go ahead.
Cool. Well, it's exciting times to live in, if you realize it, you know, and get involved. It's exciting times. There's a lot of work to be done, and we can enjoy that work, you know. Okay, anybody else before we head out of here? It's 18 after, according to my clock. Any final thoughts? I'm afraid to say that because there's still a lot of people on the call here. All right, well, I'm going to end it now. Yeah, go ahead.
Since I had asked you about Fogmo, every single thing, every point, every conversation has been put up there.
Well, good. They're educating the people, huh?
Yeah, really.
Is it all negative, or are they pulling some positive stuff here or there? Anybody arguing for us?
No positive. They're making fun of us. They're calling us names. They're putting up little smileys of people eating popcorn. They say,
well,
this,
you know,
is a comedy.
What is it that Gandhi said? First they ignore you, and then they ridicule you, and then they, what is it? They fear you, and then they give up, or something like that. Does anybody remember how that goes?
Yeah.
So they're at
the actual quote. The actual quote is, the society is drifted so far away from the truth, the people that speak it are hated by the masses.
Okay, but there was something about, you know, there's sort of a process that they go through. They're at process three. The next one is fear, by the way. And that's it.
I think it's first they ignore you, then they make fun of you. Then you win, I think. Or then
something
they
like
you,
that,
then you
yes.
Win.
So we're very close. You know, because what else can they do?
What page is that? I'm just curious.
What page is what?
That where they're talking about our stuff, like someone's listening in.
Well, that's what is the name of that? We put that out there.
Fabbo or what was it?
Fogbo, FOGBOW.
And it's the, THE.
Correct, yeah. The Fogbo.
So, you know, we should some of our people should head over there and sign up and start, making our case over there. Maybe we'll get some of these people to, does it look like they got a lot of people in this conversation? Does anybody, whoever's been over there looking around? Or is it just a few lawyers talking?
I counted. I took notes of what their sign-ons were, and there's six of them, six different people.
So they got six people, and we still at 12:30 in the morning almost. We still have 73 people. So.
All right.
Okay, I'm looking for the site.
I found that quote by Arthur Schopenhauer. It says, "All truth passes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Second, it is violently opposed. Third is it is accepted as being self-evident." That was in 1788.
So they're in the ridicule part.
Yeah.
So, but look at, we know we're engaging them. We know they're fearing us, and they better fear the people because we're coming. We're coming. And so whoever the spy is in this room that's reporting over there, let them know over there the people are coming, and we want our country back.
I can't find the page, so I was wondering.
Yeah.
John?
Yes.
Mahatma Gandhi, first they ignore you, then they ridicule you, then they fight you, then you win.
There you go. So that's the second stage on Gandhi. I knew Gandhi said something like that. So anyway, we're fighting them in the courts. So we're getting up there, and they are fearing us. There's no doubt about it. And they better fear us. They better. Because we are the people, and we're a lot more than they are. And if we have to get up to the United States Supreme Court, they know we're going to win there. So,
hey, can someone post a link to it on the text chat?
Anybody in the text chat? Gerard, are you in the text chat?
I don't know. Let me look. I haven't been in there in a while.
Oh, okay.
No, you're not in there, Gerard.
You're not in there. It's thefogbow.com.
Okay, I did it. It's the Fogbo, F-O-G?
Yeah, it's strange, whatever. What does that mean? You ever see that? There's some program on TV where the thing ends and the kid looks up and says, what does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
All right, I hope we're done. I want to go to sleep. Gerard, we're going to talk 10 minutes or so before we go to bed. But
yeah.
Other than that, hey, it's been a good conversation. We've accomplished a lot of work today, and there's going to be a lot of paperwork churning out over the next few days. I think by Monday or Tuesday, we're going to have a lot of great stuff to lay out there, and new strategies, and we're going to start getting some wins, and I think things are looking up for us. I think we're very close to getting in the courts. I really do. So anyway, Lord willing, we'll see you next when's the next meeting? Monday. That's right. Anybody who wants to come to the Bible study, did the radio station get up yet, Gerard? I haven't heard anything on that yet.
No, I haven't heard.
We should try to give a call to Rick. We'll see if we can catch him tonight. If not, we'll get him tomorrow and find out if they're up and going yet. But we will have a Bible study on Saturday, either way, whether the radio station is up yet or not. 7 o'clock right here in this room for anybody interested. We're heading into the book of Revelation, but we have not started it yet because we're waiting for the radio program to go to start it. But we'll have some study on probably a phrase or something out of the book of Revelation. Okay, good night, everybody. Thanks for coming.
All right.
All right.
Let me